See, the Bible calls us the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. Everywhere we go, we're little lights. See, no, let me tell you something. The darkest of darkest, I'm talking about midnight dark. If you can get caveman dark, can't put out the little flicker. You can take a little flicker and that darkness can't overcome it. Church, let me tell you something. We're the light of the world. No matter how dark it get in your life, can't no darkness put you out. I don't care if they cut off every light in here. If there's a light coming from, like on that speaker right there, that little light, it would never put it out. There's no darkness the devil can bring against you to put you out. And the Bible says, we little, everywhere you go, we little lights. We little lights just walking around. We're the salt of the earth. Mm-hmm. We're the salt of the earth. And the Bible says how God anointed Jesus Christ with Holy Spirit, with power. In other words, everything. Somebody say everything. Everything that Jesus did on the earth, he did it because he was anointed with the Holy Spirit. And if God anointed him with it and he anointed us with it, we can do the same thing. That's why Jesus said greater works you should do. Those of us who are anointed by the Holy Spirit and with power. Because the Holy Spirit is the power source. It's a lot of Christians. It's billions of Christians. But everybody don't have Holy Spirit. They don't have no power in their life. They don't have the power. You want the power. That's what you want. You want the power to be successful in this earth realm. Go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1. Verse 8. If you're there, say amen. But you shall receive what? But you shall receive what? But you shall receive what? Power. When the Holy Spirit has come what? Upon you. See? If he don't come upon you, you don't receive the what? Power. Because most churches, they teach you, I got the same power. No, you don't. You got the Holy Spirit in you. He have to come upon you for you to have the what? The power. And watch this here. He said, verse 8, and he said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you should be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Look at me, church. He said, when the Spirit of God come upon you, you should be witnesses. You can't be witnesses until you are a witness. See, most folks are not good witnesses for the kingdom of God. They don't have the power. The world ain't trying to run to you because, you know what I'm saying, you don't have the power. When you get this power, they're going to know something different about you. He said, for you to be a witness for me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth, you need to have this power. And we're going to read in Luke chapter 24, where he told them, don't you leave Jerusalem unless you have this power. Don't you go anywhere. You stay right here until you get this power. Because you leave here without this power, the devil going to whoop you butt naked. See, you need that power. And when you get that power, your witness going to grow. It's going to expand because people going to see it's an intangible. They can't see it, but it's the Holy Spirit that came upon you. It's somebody backing you now. When you open your mouth, things going to happen. Same Jesus. Watch this here. Jesus started his ministry. Watch this here. Okay, we'll go there. I'll take you there. Go to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. Watch this here, church. We just read in Acts 10:38 how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with what? Power. The Bible says he went about doing good and healing all that are to the devil. He couldn't go about doing good if God don't anoint him with the Holy Spirit and with power. Same with you and I. But now watch this right here. Watch this here. In Luke chapter 3, Luke chapter 3, look at verse 23. Now Jesus himself began his ministry about how many years? 30 years. Watch, look at this now. Jesus himself. Somebody say Jesus. Now look at me. Can somebody tell me who Jesus was when he walked the earth? He was the Son of Man. Even though he was the Son of God, he wasn't operating the Son of God. He was the Son of Man. That's why he had to be anointed with Holy Spirit. Are you with me? He was the Son of Man. And the Bible says he didn't start his ministry until he was how old? 30 years old. See, watch this here. I'm giving y'all some good stuff. How Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, the son of Heli. Now watch this here. Go back to, we right there. Let's stay right here. Let's go look at Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, look at verse 40. Luke 2, 40. Luke chapter 2, verse 40. If you're there, say amen. And the child grew. Somebody say Jesus. And became strong in the spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was what? And his parent, just talking about John the Baptist here, but watch this here. And his parent went to Jerusalem every year at the feast. Okay, now just talking about Jesus. Now look at me, church. If Jesus was God, do God have to grow? God don't have to grow. Let you know, Jesus was not the Son of God. He was the Son of God, but when he was on this earth, he was operating as the Son of what? Man. It said right here in verse 4, and the child grew and became strong in the spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. His parents went to Jerusalem. This is Mary and Joseph, went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. And when he was what? 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his Mary and his mother did not know. But supposing him to have been in the company, you know, with family, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintance. So they did not find him. They were in Jerusalem. In other words, Jesus got lost. How would you like to go somewhere? You go down to Orlando, to Disney World. You on your way back up. Next thing you know, it said, man, where is William? And you get home and you unpack the car. You left the boy in the Disney World somewhere. You said, boy, I can hear you right now, man. William, he got it when I see him. Amen. Watch it. Jesus, they done left the boy. Watch this here. Verse what? 6:46. Now, so it was after how many days? 3 days. Man, they didn't find him until 3 days later. How would you like to have your kids been gone for 3 days? I can see you as a parent right now, man, you frantic. You all over the place. Can you imagine Roger, you riding around and Jared and Jayden for 3 days? 3 days. Watch this here. For 3 days, watch this here. Now, it was so that after 3 days that they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and doing what? Asking them questions. So all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answer. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you what? Anxiously. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know I must be about my father's business? Look at me, church. If my son TJ was missing for 3 days and I saw him and he gave me an answer like that, everybody said the Orlando Police Department. You might have to call the National Guard to get me off him. In other words, here a little 12-year-old talking to you like that, like, hey, what's up with you? Watch this here. And he said, why? Did you not know? Why did you seek me? Did you not know I must be about my father's business? But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Look at me, church. If some things God going to speak to you, only you going to understand it. See, look at me. I'm talking to somebody tonight. Only you going to understand it. And then you're going to try to make them understand it. They're going to frustrate you. God didn't speak to them. He spoke to who? You. He spoke to you. The worst thing, so when God speak to you, when he speak to them, if he wanted them to know, he'd have told them. See, if some things God going to speak to you, you still trying to make people, see, when God, back in 1998, God spoke fresh start, new beginning to me. To me. Back in 1998, 13 and a half years ago, he ain't speaking to my wife. When she came home that night, I told her, God has spoke fresh start, new beginning to me. And 13 years later, the fresh start, new beginning was just birthed April 24, Resurrection Sunday. I didn't try to go around trying to convince people God has spoken to me. When God speaks to you, baby, let me tell you something. It's unquestionable whether you heard the voice of God. You ain't got, you. Let me tell you something. They ain't going to believe it. Why? Because he ain't speak to them. When you look throughout the scripture, when God spoke to Abraham and told Abraham to leave his country, leave his father's house, leave his relatives, and go to a country that he will show him, what made Abraham pick up everything? Abraham didn't even know where he was going. But Abraham had heard the voice of God. What made Joseph? God gave Joseph a dream. At 17 years old, he told it to his brother. See, let me tell you something. Because you in church, you got some false brethren in church. You tell your dream to some false brethren, they'll throw you in a pit and put you in prison like they did Joseph. When you hear like Moses. Moses heard the voice of God. When you hear the voice of God, man, you ain't got time to be talking to nobody else. Okay, watch this here. Boy, Lord have mercy. I got all kind of stuff going on. But I'm going to get back to that. Let's keep reading this right here. So, verse 50. But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. What do that mean? In other words, he humbled himself. He became obedient to them because he was their son. The Bible says he was subject to them. Amen. He was subject to them. Watch this here. So he was subject to them, or he was obedient to them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in what? Wisdom. He increased in stature, which is physical, and he increased in favor with God and with man. Look at me, church. Every day you ought to be saying, Father, I thank you that I increase in wisdom with you and favor with man. Every day I say that. Father, I thank you that I continue to increase in wisdom with you and favor with me. See, favor is more important than money. Favor can get you some doors money can't get you into. See, favor is the key. When you got favor with God, God will give you favor with me. But now watch this here. Now we're in Luke. Go to Luke chapter 4. So we found Jesus. He was 12. Then we read in Luke chapter 3, verse 23, he started his ministry at what? 30. Now look at Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Let's start at verse 16. Luke 4, 16. If you're there, say amen. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom, he went into the what? Synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is what? That word upon go. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me. Who is he talking about? Somebody say Holy Spirit. See, the anointing is the power. What's the purpose of the anointing? The anointing is to remove burdens and just destroy yokes. That's the purpose of it. Watch this here. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Remember we read in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit with power. Now he's telling you that was his minister assignment right here. When God spoke to me 13 and a half years ago, he was telling me my ministry assignment. My ministry assignment is what? Fresh start, new beginning. Everybody get connect with me. You're going to get a fresh start and a new beginning. And guess what? Every minister that God give people, it ain't nothing but a fresh start, a new beginning. When, that's all Jesus saying. He's saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointing me to preach the gospel to the poor. What the gospel is the good news. Can somebody tell me what good news the poor need to hear? How to get rich. That's what a poor man, guess what he want to hear? How can I get some money, 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 money? That's the good news to him. A poor man, what else he want to hear? He said, he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. If you come in this church and you poor and you hang out with Pastor Terry, baby, let me tell you something. Your rich days are coming to you soon. Because your problem is not money. Your problem is ignorance. Remember, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. You don't have a money problem. You have a wisdom problem. And when you find, see, oh, Lord, boy, watch this here. Watch this here. The Bible says in verse 16, or verse 17, he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found. Somebody say he found. He found the place where it was written. Look at me, church. You have to find the place where it's written for your life in the Bible. When I found out where it was written for me in the Bible about everything about fresh start, new beginning, that's where your anointing is. That's where your money is. That's where your riches and your wealth and your wisdom is. You have to find. That's why you have to read. That's why you have to study to show yourself approved unto God, because God's going to show you in the Bible where it's written for you. See, the Bible said Jesus found. See, when I read the Bible, I'm looking for all the places in the Bible where he's talking about me. Amen. He found that place. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, recover sight to the blind, and set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Go to Isaiah chapter 10. Watch this here. Trey, with them the Holy Spirit, that power. You get that power. The power ain't nothing but the anointing. It ain't nothing but the anointing. And let's find out what that anointing is. What that anointing would do. Isaiah, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Psalms of Solomon, Isaiah chapter 10. If you're there, say amen. The book of Isaiah chapter 10. Y'all okay? Y'all want me to calm down or keep going? Hey, praise the Lord. I'm going to keep going anyway. Amen. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. Are you there? It should come to pass in that day. Look at me, church. We in that day right now. Watch this here. That his burden would be taken away from your shoulders, talking about the devil, and his yoke from your neck. Look at me. When folks come in here, they yoke down and burden down. Jesus said, come unto me, all you laboring who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your soul. See, that's all fresh start, new beginning. When you come in here, because of the anointing on my life, I'm destroying burdens and yokes off your life with the word of God. Amen. So he said, you know, like an ox. An ox have a yoke on him. You know, that big old wooden thing he have on him. He yoked together. When people come in here, he said, Terry, they need a fresh start, a new beginning. My job with the anointing on my life, I'm on crash. I'm on burst that yoke and I'm on destroy it. That's the purpose of the anointing. Watch this here. And it should come to pass that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be what? Because of the anointing. See, the anointing. What's the anointing? It's the power of what? God. Look at me, church. If you have an anointing, a burden on you, it's because you don't have the power on you. When the anointing come on you, it destroys burdens and it destroys burden, remove burden and destroy yoke. The power of the anointing is to destroy. See, when people come in, they all yoked down, they burden down, they oppress. And when they get the anointing, it destroys all that. That's the purpose of it. You see Christian walking around talking about, I'm depressed, I'm oppressed, you know, I'm weary, I don't know what I'm doing. Baby, you need the anointing. That's the purpose of the anointing. It's to destroy yokes and remove burden. The Bible says, who the Son set free is free indeed. When you get Holy Spirit, the Bible says, he's the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, freedom. No Christian should be bound up. That's why when you go in some church, they got laws and you can't do this. Baby, get out that church. That church got you burdened down and yoked down. You need to be free. You need to be free. That sounds like an old high player song. You need to be free. Okay, don't worry. All right, all right, all right, all right, all right. Come on, come on, point. Go to Romans chapter 8. Rodney, you from Ohio. You ever heard that song before? You probably got that in your 8-track. Anybody remember the 8-track player? Amen. Amen. Church, let me tell you something. When the Spirit of God comes upon you, you free, baby. You free. Don't let nobody bound you back up with a whole bunch of religious garbage. Romans chapter 8. And look at verse, Romans 8, 11. If you're there, say amen. But the Spirit of, talking about the Spirit of Christ, but the Spirit of him, or really talking about the Spirit of God, the Father, the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells what? Look at me, look at me. If you born again, he said that same Spirit, the greatest thing that God has ever done, do anybody know what it was? When he raised Jesus from the dead. He said that Spirit is in you. That power that raised Jesus from the dead, he said it dwells in you. That's the greatest thing God ever done, was raise Jesus from the dead. And he said that same power is in you. Watch this here, verse 11. And if the Spirit, that's why he said if, because everybody not born again. See, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead would also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells what? Church, watch this here. See, you can, when you get born again, you can have sickness and disease in you. When you get born again, God will heal you. See, we should last longer than the world because we have this power in us. See, this power, the Bible said, it'll give strength to your mortal body. That's why he said, let the weak say that I am strong. Amen. He said that same power, watch this here, that same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. Man, that's how powerful you are. That's why, let me tell you something, church. That's why, let me tell you something. That's why, see, remember we just read in Luke chapter 1 earlier how God came to Mary, the angel Gabriel came to Mary, said, Hail Mary, you're highly favored. You know, God gonna overshadow you with the Holy Spirit and that power gonna come upon you. But God couldn't do, he did all of that. And Mary said, how this gonna happen? He told him the Holy Spirit gonna come upon you and the power of the Most High gonna come upon you and overshadow you. And then after all of that, he explained it to her, he still had to have Mary's permission. When Mary said, be it done unto me according to thy word, watch this here. Bam, it happened. When the things that I'm teaching you right now, if you don't come in agreement with it, it'll never happen. You have to come in agreement with it. You have to say, Father, I say it every day, part of my prayer, be it done unto me according to thy word. I give you my permission, my participation for your will to be done on earth in my life as it is in heaven. I'm telling God, go ahead and show out in me. See, God, if God want to do some great things in you, if you don't get your permission, he can't bring them to pass. It's the same thing with the devil. When the devil tried to kill you, kill, steal, and destroy, he had to have your permission to bring it to pass. If you don't speak it, the Bible says it'll die unborn. A thought not spoken would die unborn. When God give you a thought, if you don't speak it, it won't come to pass. Remember, death and life is where? In the power of the tongue. Y'all with me? My time is up. Church, I'm really just cranking this thing up. I just did introduction tonight. Let me tell you something. You want to stick with me through this teaching. You want to stick with me through this teaching. Because Jesus said everything he did, we ought to be doing. That same power to raise God, Jesus from the dead, is in you now. Give the Lord a hand, pray.